Come on.
You want to try that again?
Merry Christmas.
Are you,
Red Station?
Not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Mom, I
just got home from work.
Are you sitting at home?
I gotta pack.
Boy, if you miss
that bus.
I gotta go. Okay, I'll see you in a few hours.
Theo.
Gotta go.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
Love you too. I gotta go.
Is this you?
No, it's, Miss?
Excuse me.
Miss?
Excuse me. Is yours? You think we can possibly put it somewhere else?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Hi.
Hmm? What?
Honey, could you pass these around?
Okay. Excuse me, would you like one? Excuse me, sir. Would you like a cookie?
Para mí?
Would you like a cookie?
¿Quiere que tome uno? ¿Tiene nueces? Porque si tiene nueces, no puedo comer.
No.
¿Sabes qué? Olvídalo. Gracias.
Okay. Nobody wanted one.
Would you like one?
Okay.
My last one.
What?
I'm sorry. Thank goodness. I just didn't really have to go to the bathroom.
No problem.
How long have we been stopped?
I don't know, like an hour, maybe more.
What?
You're asleep for this? We're stuck. We got a flat tire. Left to die. This is awesome.
Somebody's coming to fix it, right?
It's like midnight on Christmas Eve. No one's coming.
I gotta call my family. Hey, can I borrow your phone? Mine's dead.
No way, dude. No.
Cool.
No, I'm just kidding. You can totally borrow it.
Thanks.
What?
Nothing. No.
You guys still decorating the Christmas tree?
Well, I guess I'll just see you when I see you. Yep. Merry Christmas.
They're up late.
Yeah, they're always up this late decorating the tree. And my mom, she'll be up early to start cooking. But she's good too. You know, ham, green beans, sweet potato pie.
That's cool. Come on. Christmas here too. It's Christmas everywhere. Home. Yeah, all right. Whatever.
Yeah. you got there?
Christmas dinner. One. Alguien ore.
¿Puedes traducir?
Okay. All right, he's gonna pray. I'm gonna translate.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Dios en el cielo.
God in heaven.
Te damos gracias por el regalo de traernos unos a otros.
We thank you for the gift of one another.
Por el regalo de poder celebrar con otros.
For the gift of others to celebrate with.
Y gracias por estos regalos que estamos a punto de recibir.
Thank you for these gifts which we are about to receive.
Y gracias, sobre todo, por el regalo de tu hijo.
And thank you, most of all, for the gift of your son.
Nació para traer esperanza.
He was born to bring hope.
Y no solo esperanza para algún día.
Not just hope for someday.
Pero también esperanza para los problemas de esta noche.
But also hope for the troubles of tonight.
Amén.
Amén.
Amen.
That was so beautiful.
Thank Gracias. You.
Is this where we're supposed to all hug or something?
Happy New Year to you. For those watching and listening online, thanks for taking the time to do that. This is a season that promises peace, hope, and joy. But for some of us, we're not experiencing, we have very little peace. We're not experiencing hope, and we don't have a lot of joy. It's easy to feel that tension, right? We are hoping and maybe even praying that our family gets along for dinner. And we're hoping to get the gift that we've been asking for. And for others of us, we've been hoping that the world is finally made right. But there's a gap, and I'm sure you've experienced this like I have, that there's a gap of what we're hoping for and what we actually experience, and in between is filled with a lot of disappointment. Yet the story of Christmas reminds us that God's answer to our deepest hopes doesn't always come the way you and I expect. This Christmas, we're invited to see how God shows up in the very unexpected. He shows up in unexpected ways, and he allows us to experience hope, joy, and peace. Like for some of us, we can be so focused on what's not working, why we're disappointed, how we're disappointed. Yet we're called because he gives us hope, joy, and peace to embrace the journey, the surprises, the ups and the downs, and the people we encounter along the way. We stepped into the story of Joseph and Mary over the past three Sundays as they were ready to introduce to the world their baby, Jesus. So about 700 years before that first Christmas, 700 years before Joseph led Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 700 years before that census was taken, 700 years before there was no room anywhere in Bethlehem, 700 years before Mary gave birth to Jesus, there was a prophecy concerning a future king that would save the people of Israel. And in this prophecy, Isaiah, who is a prophet speaking on behalf of God, predicts that a future leader from King David's line is coming, and he's going to make all things new. This is how the prophecy went. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The kingdom of this future leader will bring a different type of look. It's going to look a lot different than the Roman Empire. In ancient times, carrying something on your shoulders symbolized bearing responsibility. This king would take on the responsibility of governing, not just Israel, but of all creation. In fact, he would have the ultimate authority. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. This future leader's teaching and his understanding will transcend all human teaching and understanding. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Notice, Mighty God. This future leader isn't a god. He won't be like a god. In fact, he will be God, fully capable of doing all that God can do because he is God. He will be Mighty God. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. With this future leader being God, he will have a life that never ends. And as a father, and like a father, he will be personal, loving, compassionate, here to offer the world, here to offer you, here to offer me a relationship, not just another religion. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this future leader will come to make peace between humanity and God. And as a result of anyone that chooses to follow this king, they will have to live and learn to live at peace and in peace with other people. And the prophecy continues of the greatness of his government and peace. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. He will reign forever. This king does not and will not have a term limit. The only one that can reign on and from David's throne was a descendant of King David. And as we read through the writings of the New Testament writers, Matthew and Luke and even John and Mark, they don't use these words to describe Jesus. No one calls him these names. See, what Isaiah was doing with these names was prophesying what the king would be like. The nature of this king is that he would be fully God. The character of this king is that he would be good and excellent. The status of this king is that he would be at the top. He would be undefeated and unrivaled. He would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He would be a king that this world has never seen before. And then we fast forward 700 years to the actual birth of Jesus, and this is what Luke writes for us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. These shepherds would have been Jewish, and they would have heard about this prophecy. They would have known about this prophecy that was written 700 years before. And they would have been waiting for this Messiah, this king, this deliverer to come. And now to have shepherds part of the story instead of the religious elite was something inspiring. It would be a hint to how this future king is coming into the world. It shows his humility, right? He had the authority, but choosing not to use the authority for his own advantage. Notice how Luke continues, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The word good news is what the word gospel means. It's a saving message that the Savior has come not just for the Jews, but for people, for all the people. And so maybe they're wondering, okay, what's this good news? Well, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. In fact, there was another prophecy given by another prophet that in the town of David, the hometown of David in Bethlehem, the future leader would be born. And the shepherds would have interpreted that today has finally come. The wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, has been born. And notice this, to you, which makes it personal. And then, this will be a sign to you. Now, it's worth asking this question, like, what would you expect to see? A king being born, a royal being born? Like, what's an appropriate sign? Like, we don't have a king or a queen form of government here in the United States. But across the pond, that's what the closest thing is. Our friends in the UK, and Jenny is like an expert. My wife is an expert on all this stuff. Like, she'll watch the weddings, the shows, the biopics, and she finds that all fascinating, and I'm learning quite a bit about it. And from what I understand, when a royal is born, anyone connected to the royal family, it's a spectacle. They make sure that everybody knows about it, and not just in the UK, but across the world. And when a royal is born, I learned that flags are raised all across the United Kingdom. In fact, the sitting king or queen is the first to find out about it. Before the grandparents and before any other relative, the king or queen, they know about it. They find out first. Landmarks across England are lit up to celebrate. And then from the Tower of London, there's a 62-shot salute. And it takes 10 minutes to get through it all. And it's a sign that indicates to the world that something significant has happened. Surely fit for a royal. But notice what the sign is. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And that's pretty anticlimactic, right? A manger. And we talked about the manger on Sunday as it was just a trough, a feeding trough where animals literally ate out of. Like, there's no palace, there's no flags, there's no salute. It was a Messiah lying in a feeding trough. And the first to find out wasn't the king, wasn't the queen, it was shepherds. See, Jesus was born an unlikely king. He came into the world in an unlikely way for such a king. Guys, this isn't normal in relational dynamics, where the one with the status is the one that dictates how the relationship goes, right? Like, if you've ever known someone famous, maybe a celebrity, they dictate the scope of the relationship. You have a boss, they dictate the scope of the relationship. And here you have the king with the status. And his birth communicates something entirely different. And it shows the posture with which he will rule and reign. This humility, and the humility with which Jesus entered the world would point to his heart for the world and the type of king that he would be for the world. That he came down from the skybox, the suite of heaven. He came down in the playing field of humanity. With all honesty, what king would leave his throne? What kind of king would join his people in their mess? What kind of king would subject himself to the limitations of his people? What kind of king would give up his life willingly for his people? What kind of king would give up his life for people who wanted to take it and ultimately did? A different kind of king, a savior king. Christmas is when we celebrate the miraculous reality that the King of Kings has made himself available, accessible, and approachable to you and me. He has made himself accessible, approachable, and available to you. To your neighbor that you really don't like. To your kids, to your coworkers, to your mom, to your dad, to your family member that nobody seems to remember. To those who are far from God and to sinners like you and me. The King of Kings has made himself available, accessible, and approachable to the broken, to the hurting, to the shamed, and to the self-righteous. Jesus, born an unlikely king, proved to be unlike any other king, a king who came toward the mess of this world, a king that isn't afraid to take on your mess or mine, a king full of grace and truth, a king born to die and a king that rose again, a king worthy of praise, a king worthy of surrender, a king worthy of following, a king worthy of it all. So this Christmas, what is your response to that king? To the one who has made himself available, accessible, and approachable to you and to me? To the one who gives hope, to the king that shines in the darkness? The invitation from this king is to follow him. It's an invitation to surrender and to reorient ourselves to him and to his values. This is a king unlike any other king that came to do for his people and to interact for his people, for you and for me, in a way that no other king ever has and never will. This is an unlikely king. This is our king, King Jesus. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're incredibly thankful for the message of Christmas. We're thankful that we have a king that we could follow. We're thankful that you give us hope, peace, and joy as we face difficult circumstances, disappointment. Father, I ask that today we are reminded that we have a king that we are to follow. He demands allegiance. And following King Jesus is the best life any of us can have. And so, Father, I ask for those who are not following yet, I ask that they today would decide to follow Jesus. They would decide to lay down the things that they're holding on to. Pray that they would confess their sin and recognizing that Jesus, in his humility, died in their place. He rose again to give them life. For those of us who've been followers of Jesus for quite some time, that if we need to make a decision today to reorient our lives, that we do it. That we truly understand that Jesus is worth following and that we ought to be following him with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen.